Well, it is good to be here. When I was in the hospital for a little over 1 month, not one morsel of food passed my lips, not 1 ounce of water passed my lips for 1 month. And the doctors talked as if, well, one said I might be in the hospital 4 or 5 months, another said maybe a year. But little after a month, I was paroled. It's good to be on the outside. And I talked to Dr. John Engelhardt about my funeral because I was told that things looked very bad and I could go home at any time. And you, dear people, and so many others prayed. I was about to go home and see the Lord face to face and be there in my inheritance and rejoice in the Lord. And you prayed, Lord, don't let him go to heaven. Well, maybe you didn't use those exact words. But thank you so very much for your prayers. Thank you so very much. And when I went back after coming out of the hospital, I went back a week later to have my gallbladder taken out, a laparoscopy. And then after that, I went back for a checkup. And I sat with two of the doctors. And this is a teaching hospital, Chapel Hill. And so I had a number of doctors every day. But I said to two of them, representing the others, that I appreciated what they had done. I said, from my observation, you've done a wonderful job, and I want to thank you. I said, but I want you to know that I am convinced that it was a definite answer to prayer. Now, in saying that, you know, some might be thinking, well, I think of the problem I faced, and I think of the situation that I experienced, and I prayed, and it didn't turn out the way I prayed. Well, these are things we don't understand, but all I can say is that I am convinced that it was a definite answer to prayer on my part. I talked to Alan Parks way back. He said, Eddie? He said, I don't know what your problem is. He says, but I've heard 4 or 5 different terms that were used to describe your condition. He said, exactly what was your problem? I said, hemorrhagic pancreatitis, bleeding, hemorrhaging pancreatitis. My pancreas was swollen twice the size, the doctor told me. And when I went back for that checkup, I said to Dr. Barron, the surgeon, I said, now, Dr. Barron, I said, people will be asking me exactly what my problem was. And this is what I told him. I said, I want you to give me the worst sounding term possible so as to generate as much sympathy and pity as I can get. He said, well, your condition is hemorrhagic pancreatitis. I said, well, can I put acute in front of it? I mean, that would... He said, well, I'll leave that up to you. I'll leave that up to you. I had to go back to the first hospital. I was in 2 different hospitals. Had to go back to the first hospital to get a letter from the doctor there whose care I was in, hopefully to recoup some airline money because I was scheduled to be in Nassau for the month of January. And so I was able to get that airline money back. But that doctor, in writing a letter for me to give to the airlines, put acute. So when I told this to the people at Ireland Street Chapel in Burlington, I said I wanted him to give me the worst sounding terms so as to generate as much sympathy and pity as I could get. One brother said to me, oh, shit, if it's sympathy you want, Eddie, we've been feeling sorry for you for a long time. Boy, brethren keep you humble, don't they? But thank you so very much for praying. For myself, for Louise, she was in the hospital almost as long as I was. So thank you so very much. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. And oh my, you know so well that that word fellowship there is koinonia. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship. Koinonia. It's rendered communion. We have been called into fellowship with God, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now turn back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. John, in being moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pen these words, was writing to believers who had not seen Christ, as John and others had seen Christ face to face. So he writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. John says, we actually touched him. We saw him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Here is that word, koinonia, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You need not turn back to Psalm 115, but when you read that chapter, you will see that the psalmist is speaking about those who worship idols. And he compares their idols and their worship with the one true and living God and our relationship with him. And so the psalmist writes, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. That is, they don't have the life of God, the spiritual life. So is everyone that trusteth in them, in their idols. What a contrast. Our God is the living God. He is a person. And we read that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And that's interesting in itself. We believe in the Holy Trinity, don't we? We might be challenged from time to time. Well, where do you find that term, that expression, the Holy Trinity in the Bible? Well, it's not there. But the teaching is there from cover to cover. We believe in the Holy Trinity. You've heard me and perhaps others say that Hebrew differs from English in this regard. In English, as you know, one is singular. To make it plural, you must have two or more. That's not the case in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, one is singular, two is dual. And to put it into the plural, you must have three or more. And in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so we would ask those who would deny the truth of the Holy Trinity, to whom was God speaking when he said, let us make man in our image? And it's plural. You must have at least three. It's plural. God said, let us make... To whom was he speaking? Quite possibly, those who would deny the Holy Trinity would say, well, he was speaking to the angels. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That can't be the case because the writer of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, tells us that God the Son did not take upon him the nature of angels. You see, for God the Son to become man, to take the burden upon his shoulders, to take away the sin of the world, he could not take on him the nature of angels. So God wasn't saying to the angels, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. No, no. We believe God is a person. We believe that there are three persons that make up the Trinity, and these three are one. And God made man in his image and after his likeness. The Bible tells us that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That word life is in the plural, by the way. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. That is, God entrusted to man that responsibility and privilege of reproducing himself. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now listen to me very carefully. God, in doing that, communicated something of himself to his creature to give to his creature eternal existence, being made primarily to live on earth. God, in breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, communicated something of himself to his creature to give to his creature eternal existence. This is the reason the Bible teaches, and we firmly believe, that though a person dies, that person continues to live. They leave the body, but that person continues to live. So God made man in his image and after his likeness. And what koinonia, what fellowship they must have had together. We believe that God made man a tripartite being, consisting of body, soul, and spirit. I don't know about you, I have difficulty in distinguishing between the soul and the spirit part of a person. The Word of God does so. Hebrews 4 and 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, the body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is it 1 Thessalonians 5:23? Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. I believe that is included in being made in the image and after the likeness of God. And so here was God and his creature in fellowship, in communion, mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. But something happened, and we know what that something was. Man disobeyed God and plunged himself and all of his posterity into sin and under its consequences, and man was driven from God's presence. God had said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death means separation, and man was separated from God, but still with that eternal existence. And so man was driven from the presence of God, No longer now mind to mind and heart to heart and will to will. And the Bible clearly teaches us that apart from Christ, being out of fellowship with God, we are enemies of God. Not only in our minds, but by our wicked works. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And we're all condemned. What a horrible mess. This is the reason we need to be born again, not with the same kind of life, that life to live on earth. We need to be born again from above. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, but we have physical life. Oh, no, but you need spiritual life. You need that life from above. You need the very life of God to be in fellowship, in communion with him. And so God the Son did take upon him human form. He became a human being apart from sin that he might die as man's representative upon the cross. Thank God he did so. John the Baptist, in identifying the Lord Jesus when he began his earthly ministry, said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible teaches that we need to be born again. We need a spiritual birth. We need this life from God himself. We need to be born from above. And many of us here, I don't know how many, maybe all of us, but many of us here can say to the glory of God, yes, I've taken God at his word. I have availed myself of the great salvation that he has accomplished in and through Christ, his well-beloved Son. I have trusted Christ as my Savior, and on the authority of the word of God, I have life. Just recently, I was in Florida. Louise and I both were in Florida, but I was at the Park of the Palms conference, speaking there at the week of conference. And this Egyptian brother in the Lord came to me. We hit it off very well. Here was a Jew and Egyptian having wonderful fellowship together all week. He said to me, he said, Brother Eddie, he said, there is an Iranian doctor living right down the street, right at the park, but on the main street, he said, an Iranian doctor. And he said, one or two of the other speakers who've been here have gone with me down there. I would like for you to go. I said, I'll be glad to. And so we went to this doctor's house, and we were sitting at the table, and here was an Egyptian, an Iranian, and one from a Jewish background. That was like the United Nations. You know, if they had allowed this Egyptian and I to go to the United Nations, we could tell them the secret. But here the three of us were sitting there, and we were going over the gospel with this Iranian doctor. And my, here was his picture on the wall in his doctor's outfit and certificates and and yet he said, now make it simple, very simple so I can understand. Make it simple. I said, all right, Dr. Amir, I'm going to make it simple. So I turned to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. I said, now this is simple. Now I want you to read that. And here was this doctor, a learned man, speaking in broken English, reading very slowly, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I said, that's simple, isn't it? All one-syllable words. And he looked at that. He said, what does hath mean? I was surprised. What does hath mean? The Egyptian brother said, that means you have it. That means you have Jesus, you have life. Well, that's it, isn't it? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have his life. We have eternal life. I was saved under the preaching of John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's wonderful. Well, look at the outline that you have there, because for this month in the Sunday School Hour, we will be considering some tests. There will be three tests taken from 1 John chapter 2. There are a number of other tests in this epistle, but we will be considering three tests to determine just where we stand. We profess to be saved. We profess to know Christ as Savior. We profess to be in fellowship. Now, wait a minute. Just what does that mean? We're in fellowship with God. Now, in speaking about fellowship, the term is used in that very broad sense. And this is the way we are thinking of it. We are not thinking of it so much as this fellowship being expressed in and through the local church. We'll get into that. Some time ago, I was in a home, and sitting on the sofa, and I looked at the coffee table, and on the coffee table, there was a little statue there. And I said, what is this? And I picked it up, and I said, oh, that's the Washington Monument. And the lady of the house said, that's not the Washington Monument. I said, yes, it is. That's what it says. No, she said, Eddie, that's not the Washington Monument. I said, well, it says Washington Monument. She said, Eddie, the Washington Monument's in Washington. I said, you're right. That's not the Washington Monument. She said, no, that's a little replica of it. I said, you're right. Now, a local church like this is and should be a replica of the universal church. There should not be anything about this local church that would contradict any truth concerning the universal church. But we are speaking about this fellowship that we have with God in the body of Christ, and it is expressed in a local way here. So we will get into that somewhat, but I'm thinking primarily of this broad sense of a person coming to know Christ as Savior, becoming a member of the family of God. And when we enter into the family of God by way of the new birth, this birth from above, this spiritual birth, we enter into, how would you express it, the society of the blessed. We enter into the society of the blessed. And this calls for certain commitments on our part. We think of the families represented here, and we can readily understand the commitments, the loyalty that we should express to families, to family members. All right, those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, we are in the family of God. And certain loyalties are and should be expressed. So we want to think about that at the beginning here. In thinking over this outline, I thought just last night, I should have put 5 points under fellowship here. I only have 4, but I should have put 5. And they would be, first of all, the essence of this fellowship is life. The essence of this fellowship is life. When we're saved, we receive the very life of God. This eternal life, whereby we enter into the family of God, and thus we can have fellowship, koinonia, with God himself. Wonderful, indeed. And so the essence of this fellowship is life. We sometimes sing, life begins when Jesus comes in. If you have the Son, you have life. But look at the outline. This fellowship is in the light. I raise the question, where is the place of this fellowship? Look back at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and many of you can quote this verse. John says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his, God's Son, cleanseth us. And that word cleanseth is in the present continuous form. The blood of Jesus Christ goes on cleansing us from all sin. So this, the essence of this fellowship is life. Those of us who can say by the grace of God and to His honor and glory that I'm in fellowship with God, I know Christ as my Savior, we can say that we have the life of God. Now, sad to say, those, and the Bible teaches, that those who have not trusted Christ as Savior do not have this life. I've already told some of you this. When I was at the Chapel Hill Hospital, this Jewish doctor, and you have been praying for him, Dr. David Weinstein, a young doctor, he came in, had papers in his hand. He was my endocrinologist. He gave me about 3 endoscopies while I was there at Chapel Hill. But he came in, had some papers in his hands, and he said, Mr. Schwartz? I said, yes. I'm Dr. David Weinstein. I said, Weinstein? That's a good Jewish name. He smiles. He said, yes, it is. I said, are you a practicing Jew? He said, yes, I am. He said, now, Schwartz, that's Jewish too, isn't it? I said, yes. Well, it says here you're a minister. And he had a puzzled look on his face. He said, how did that happen? I said, well, it's a long story, Dr. David. I'll be glad to tell you. I'd like to hear it. I'll take time. Go ahead and tell me. So I told him how I became a Christian latter part of 54. And though I came from a Jewish background, I wasn't reared in Judaism, but I trusted Yeshua HaMashiach, latter part of 54, as my Savior. So he looked at me and he said, now, Mr. Schwartz, he said, some people think the only way to go to heaven is by Jesus. What do you think? I said, it's not a matter of what I think, Dr. David. I'm going to tell you what Yeshua HaMashiach said. He said, no one of mankind comes to the Father but by me. I said, that's what he said. And we talked about that for a little bit. He said, well, now, if that be the case, what about all my ancestors? What about all your ancestors? I said, I don't know. They'll have to speak for themselves. I can only speak for me that I was confronted with the truth. I had to receive it or reject it. And I said, I received the truth because Yeshua HaMashiach is truth, and I received him as my Savior. Well, he said, that's interesting. But we had some good conversations. So when we receive Christ as Savior, we have and share His life. And we are now able to enjoy fellowship, communion with God. Paul said He has called us unto fellowship, unto this communion in and through Christ. And it's with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But this fellowship is in the light, if we walk in the light. Now, John is not speaking so much here as to how we walk in the light. Now, the Word of God addresses that, but John is not emphasizing that here so much as to how we walk, but rather he is stressing where we walk. We walk in the light. So he indicates the place that this fellowship can be enjoyed. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You'll see that in First John chapter 1 and verse 5. God is light. Now, this is the positive statement regarding his perfect purity. In him is no darkness at all. That is the negative declaration concerning his absolute holiness. You see, in thinking of light, light physically represents glory. Light physically represents glory. Light intellectually represents truth. When we see a little picture, a cartoon of a person who finally understands the truth, there's a little light bulb the artist will draw with the rays shining from it, indicating the light just came on. He understands. So light physically represents glory. Light intellectually represents truth. Light morally represents holiness. Now, Scripture clearly reveals two contrasting spheres, darkness and light. Now, darkness is sin. It is the absence of light. It is the absence of purity, the absence of God. And in the state of alienation from God is where those who are not saved move and have their being. Walking in darkness, living in a sphere of sinful ignorance and separation from God, in a condition of moral and spiritual blindness. But we who are saved have been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so the essence of this fellowship is life. And the place of this fellowship is in the light. Look at your outline. What is the atmosphere of this fellowship? The atmosphere of this fellowship is love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. We'll talk later about that word ought. It indicates obligation, a solemn obligation. We ought also to love one another. So the atmosphere of this fellowship, this communion, is love. And what is the law of this fellowship? The law of this fellowship is truth. God desires truth in the inward parts. And we who have trusted Christ as Savior are those of truth. I was looking for that reference. Psalm 51 verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Truth. We are children of truth, and this is the way we are to conduct ourselves. This fellowship has an abiding law, if you please, and it's truth. We say we're in fellowship, we're in koinonia with the one who is truth. And so we are to speak the truth and lie not. And what is the principle of this fellowship? The principle of this fellowship is faith. Back in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, we read that the just shall live by faith. And the writers of the New Testament And I should say the Apostle Paul particularly, and maybe he wrote Hebrews. If that be the case, then Paul was the one who referred to it three times. But in the New Testament, we find Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 referred to and quoted in Galatians, in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. How were we saved? We were saved by believing the testimony that God had given concerning His Son. And on the basis of the testimony, though we'd never seen Christ, on the basis of the testimony that God has given, we trusted Christ as our Savior. We took God at His word. Well, this is how we are to live as His children. We profess to be believers. What does that mean? Well, like the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 27, when he was on that boat bound for Rome, he said, I believe God. And so the principle of this fellowship is faith. We take God at His word, and we stand upon the word of God. Well, our time is gone. Be thinking about this. Be looking up these scriptures. And for the next three Sundays, we will think of the three tests that we read of in 1 John chapter 2. We trust you'll come back. Now, just fold your outline, put it in your Bible, so you'll have it there. Not only during the week to look at, but next Sunday when we continue. Father, we thank Thee for loving us. We thank Thee for giving Thy well-beloved Son who willingly gave Himself. And Father, we continue to marvel that we who were separated from Thee, we who were in our sins, doomed to a lost eternity, were allowed to hear the gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us and as us at Calvary. He was buried and raised from the dead, bodily from the dead. And when we received Him as our Savior, we received the very life of God. And we say and sing, what a fellowship! What a joy divine. And so we thank Thee for all that we are and have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we go into this a new week, may we ever be conscious of His presence, giving to Him all the glory and allowing Him to have the preeminence in all things. We pray in His name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.